The Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open. They recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and thus has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Like Peter and John, we may not be multimillionaires or billionaires, no? But really we have more than that because we have Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yep.
Never forget that. Silver and gold, they have none. But the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Pray for the grace to bring people back to the Catholic Church. In the Novena prayer yesterday, we prayed for those who have left the church. And basically, that's millions and millions and millions. Millions, no? So I think we have to pray honestly, how can we bring people back to the church? Peter and John didn't have money, but they had Jesus Christ. And they had the deep conviction that Jesus Christ was worth more than the whole universe. So if you're really convinced that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, it's up to us to bring people back to the church. So that's one idea on the first reading. The gospel is so rich that we can only give maybe two or three short ideas on it because it's so rich. Find in Luke chapter 24, it's the only gospel that has the passage of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The first point is this, is that the disciples do not recognize that that man walking next to him is Jesus Christ. Nor did Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene thought that Jesus was the gardener. John chapter 21, the apostles that are fishing, the man on the seashore, they don't recognize that that is Jesus Christ. How often have we failed to recognize Christ in our lives? I think very often. But I'd like to give to you three books that we have to be able to read from to encounter Christ. God speaks to us in all times and all places. In the Spanish Catechism, one of the first questions we ask the little children is, ¿Dónde está Dios? En el cielo, en la tierra, en todas las partes. I like that one. ¿Dónde está Dios? En el cielo, en la tierra, en todas las partes. No? Translated in English, where is God? God is in heaven, God is in earth, and God is in all places. I like that. I kind of like that. And as the Greek poet says, in him we live and move and have our being. So let's open up these three books. First, God can be found in the written word. In a certain sense, I feel sorry for the children and teenagers that are brought up and raised today because most of them do not appreciate good reading. And I feel sorry for them. Those who are my age or older, we were brought up in a world in which we were encouraged to read, right? Whereas the young people, everything is just flash, and it's Twitter, and this, and that, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, nothing wrong with that. But sitting down and reading a good book, nothing better than that. And there are conversions through reading. And you know the two most famous conversions through reading. Who were they? Ignatius and Saint Augustine, right? Many of you are probably not aware that Augustine was converted. It was a long process, but the last moment was, you heard the voice, totally legit, get up. He went into the garden and he read from Romans 13:13. Do not give into the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the last moment that pushed Augustine to want to be baptized by St. Ambrose in the Cathedral of Milan. But I still believe that it's an authentic source in which God speaks to us is through reading the Bible, but also reading good books. And you parents, try to convince your children to read good books. I say that they're my best friends, or my books. Okay, the second book we have to be able to read from is the book of nature. The book of nature. I'm not a pantheist, don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not a pantheist. God is not nature. But our God is the God of nature. And God reveals himself through the beauty of his creation. Now it's more difficult for city dwellers to understand that. But if you live out in the suburbs where you're exposed more to the beauty of nature, you know what I'm talking about. Something like your visit to New Hampshire, right? In October. Well, the beautiful parts of nature is the East Coast, New England, in the very middle of October. It's called the foliage season. It's an arboreal rainbow when you see these trees, miles upon miles, the rolling hills of New Hampshire and Vermont. In one tree, you could have five or six different colors. Now, if you have eyes to see, obviously that reflects the beauty of God. That's why Aquinas says we can come to the belief in God's existence just by God's creation, by the order in the universe. And something as simple as this, I don't know if you're observant, do you ever notice an ant army, where you see one ant that's carrying a crumb, maybe it's a little piece of cookie, you ever notice that? And he's carrying a crumb that's probably five times heavier than he is. And you've got 500 little ants following him, heading toward the same destiny. Wow! That blows my mind. Maybe you've never observed that, but that speaks to me about God. God ordered those ants to walk in that orderly way, heading toward a certain place so that they'd be able to share that little crumb. And lastly, God speaks through experiences. Father Tim Gallagher, one of his talks, speaks about who is the greatest master of the exercises after Ignatius. Someone yesterday in my Spanish mass said Francis Xavier. No. I'll give you a hint. Pope Francis canonized him 2 years ago. He was the first Jesuit to be ordained a priest with a French name, Saint Pierre Favre. Saint Peter Favre. He was the greatest master of the exercises. And he was in Europe giving retreats to princes and the queen and the kings. He was the greatest master in the world. So one occasion, we're talking about how God speaks through experiences. He was knocking at the door of a very important place. May have been the castle of a king or a queen. He's knocking at the door, and the porter opens up the door and says, well, what do you want? He said, I'm Father Peter Favre. I'm here to give the retreat to the king or the queen. And the porter said, sorry, I don't know you. I'm Peter Favre. Sorry, I don't know you. And he closed the door in his face. What would you do? You know what he did? Look at the work of the Holy Spirit. How many times have I closed the door on Christ when he's been knocking at the door of my heart? How many people have closed their doors on Christ, knocking, wanting to come in? Then he said this, Lord, I pray that when I die, that you will open up the door for me so that I'll be with you forever in heaven. And I pray also that this porter will also be entered, will be received into heaven. Now, only someone who has a deep Ignatian experience, an experience of God, could ever come to that conclusion. So we are being bombarded by God's presence every moment of our existence. God is speaking to us. Let's pray at the starting today that we'd be more keenly aware of God's presence in our lives. Because as the Greek poet said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen.